Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our special panelists this week for the program include Alan Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, Scott Harms of Archer Financial Services of Oakland, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold. Celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Alan Dearden, I think I want to start with you. Can you take a look forward maybe for me at the WASDE, which is due out next week on the 10th. That's Wednesday of next week. And June usually is a pretty easy month. What are your expectations?
I expect on the supply side they will not change either yield nor acres on this report for either corn or soybeans. I look for shaved back livestock feeding on this report and maybe a slight change lower for corn exports. Really nothing on the beans use.
On the livestock feeding, is that simply because of avian flu, the H5N2, or are there other, beyond poultry?
I think that we have a really good grind going for ethanol, and a lot of DDGs have come into the marketplace again at a reasonable price, and it may have overtaken some of the whole corn for feeding, as well as the bird flu issue.
Scott Harms at Archer Financial Services there in Chicago. We have found a place where the trade seems to have decided that we've been low enough, long enough, or comfortable enough that it needs to turn around. Is Chicago of a mind that we've bottomed, or is it simply a place to hold until we know more?
Yeah, I think it's a place to bottom for now. I think it's a function of timing. The market got probably a little too cheap for the time train that we were dealing with. We had a brisk pace to planting, and that got us off to a good start. Crop conditions were favorable. But in recent weeks, we've seen the excessive rains in southeast Nebraska, southwest Iowa, and Missouri. And a few weeks ago, we weren't talking about prevent plant or switching of acres. But all of a sudden now, we're trying to factor that into the equation. I think there's some other features with the soybean oil strength the last couple of days helping to pull the soybean prices off their lows. You know, we held the key support levels in corn, and I think we just simply ran out of sellers. It helps that the wheat market has turned around and finally found a little bit of support. But with the funds holding record short positions in wheat or near record short positions in wheat and record short positions in beans, I think it was just simply for time for them to pull some money off the table, and that's really what we've seen the last week or so.
And so generally speaking, there would have to be a fundamental reason beyond just the unwinding here that would move the market higher. Are you looking forward and seeing something that would give hope to the marketplace, Scott?
I don't see a major feature. This is, you know, in order for us to continue the strength much beyond maybe another 5 to 10 cents in corn and maybe 10 to 20 cents in beans, we're likely to need a real strong fundamental feature. We may have to wait until the end of the month to see how the weather pattern is shaping up for the first part of July to see that, because right now there doesn't appear to be any weather features of significance save for the areas that I talked about in the southern plains. But I think this may be a crop year where we look back and, you know, we started with the bar so high at a yield of 166 to 168. I think we're trading probably close to 168 when we're on our lows recently, that perhaps it's going to be a situation where it's a the yield declines by a depth of 1,000 cuts, you know, where we see perhaps nitrogen leaching being a feature. We see the loss of acres in the southern plains. You know, perhaps it's just other small little features and not one major feature. But in the end result, we may end up finding a struggle, you know, to keep yields close to trend line.
Bear with me. I'd like to ask you, Scott, one more question as a follow-up. You mentioned that you thought there might be some features in the soybean oil. What would those be?
Well, the EPA announcement got us a boost last Friday, largely expected, but nonetheless, you know, it created a nice rally to the soybean oil market on Friday. And then over the weekend and early this week, we saw frost conditions in southern Canada. Canola market took off. As much as perhaps 10 to 20% of the canola crop is going to have to be replanted. So that lifted, you know, that continued that rally that we started on Friday. It continued it into this week, and I think that helped to create short covering in the soybean market.
During our discussions on Thursday on air, for both the opening, our mid-morning, and the closing market report, Dan Zwicker, you talked about corn no longer being in the lead position. This based on the idea that the build-out of ethanol had put it in a unique place for several years, maybe more than half of a decade, and that soybeans and wheat would begin to lead this marketplace. Of course, the RFS giving bean oil a boost, potentially, based on biodiesel. But I think you're really thinking wheat will be the lead in the marketplace. Why would that be the case, and what does it mean historically when you look back over time for wheat to lead?
Whether or not USDA does much on their world supply-demand tables, you know, on the June report is kind of a, you know, wait and see. But there is reason to believe that the world wheat production is coming down. India's been hit real hard. We've had developing dryness in the European community. We've got developing dryness in Russia. We've got a weather pattern now in place that's going to put Europe under a high pressure ridge for a few days, could last longer. We've got developing dryness in Canada wheat, and I'm not too sure they know for sure what size the U.S. wheat is. So I do think the wheat crop worldwide is being tucked in, and I think that's why you have wheat now having made substantial advances off of its May low or its April low. And as far as I'm concerned, it's looking like it's breaking out to the upside and pulling out of a five-year cycle low. The timing's right in here, right for that to do that. So I think wheat is going to lead corn out of the hole. Now, I've driven from Waco, Texas to northwestern Illinois, and the best corn is a mile south of my ranch in Waco, Texas. It's in full tassel. It's in full tassel. And it got 5 inches of rain or 10 inches of rain over the last 10 days. And it's going to have ears on it, probably 2 feet long. I just driven through northern Missouri. And I know northern Missouri doesn't count, but if they have much of anything here, it'll be a miracle. And I think there's just too many places in the Corn Belt that the crop is just too late. I mean, I had to wear a jacket early this week in northwestern Illinois. I guess maybe I'm too accustomed to this 90-degree days and 70-degree lows in the morning, but I mean, low 50s is cold for early June, so there's no growing degree days going on here. So, and I think, you know, I go along with Scott that I think this is the year, because of last year's record yield, that the trade is pricing in the high-end yield, I don't see the crop getting better. I don't think the good to excellent rating levels are going to be go up. If anything, they may go down. So the crop isn't getting bigger. And I think the bear, at the moment anyway, has run out of ammunition. And, you know, whether this rally is only good for one more day or two more weeks, but I'm sure we're going to, I think we're going to rally enough to have the short wake up and smell the coffee, but then we'll probably consolidate until we see what the June report is. But I'm kind of excited about it from a cyclical point of view and from just a general bearishness of the trade. I think they're just leaning too heavy on the short side too early in the growing season. And I guess we'll see, you know, what we end up with. We got a lot of growing season to go with yet. But when you guys say Texas has got the best corn in the Corn Belt on the first day of June, I think it says something.
Okay, Ellen Dearden, you and I have been around Illinois just a little bit. I know I made a trip on Wednesday evening from Champaign to near Springfield, cross country. Things look actually really pretty good, although there's indicators always a sink between here and there, and so it looks the same every year. They get a lot of rain, and there's always ponding in that area. But the crops, frankly, in the Decatur area looked really good. What do you hear from your farmer clients, and what do things look like around Peoria, Illinois?
Oh, in the Peoria area, I would say corn stands are good. The color is improved, and that suggests to me that we're now about down into nitrogen. A little sunshine would sure help. Bean stands are not that good. There's a lot of washed out places. Beans were put in the ground, I would say, under not ideal conditions. Corn under much better conditions. Bean stands really aren't that good, but beans are starting to take off, and I think this hothouse conditions we've seen the last few days probably will give them a boost. But they're still, the stands are not that good.
Your assessment of the marketplace at this time, and we've heard from both Scott and Dan how they feel about, in particular for corn. How about you?
I'm really pretty encouraged with the way corn and beans have acted this week. It looks to me like we're going to have higher weeks on both of these as we go into Friday's close, unless we totally fall apart on Friday. Again, wheat's been the leader. If wheat would have a weekly close above, say, 530 on the July, I think you could get pretty excited about that, too. But I have seen farmer selling coming into this market. I'm talking old crop, but not new crop. I think there's been very little new crop sold. I'm not sure what's going to tickle guys to get in there and sell some new crop, whether we have to have December corn futures up close to the $4 area before they'll do any selling, November beans up in the 940 area to give them at least a $9 cash price or a little bit less.
I would suggest, and maybe you can help me out, Ellen, that there are more maybe corn bushels of corn sold than there are soybeans for new crop. And that seems to be, is that a bigger problem? In when you look forward, is the soybean the bigger problem, or is the corn the bigger problem of the two?
Well, you know, just the sheer volume, you know that they're going to be dealing with a lot more corn. I think there's a lot more corn being held, old crop corn, 14 crop, that's going to move sometime along the line. And really, that may not be as big a problem as what everybody's thinking because of the lack of Mid-South getting any corn planted, so we may be moving a lot of corn down the Illinois River or down the Ohio River to try to meet that late August time frame at the Gulf. But I think that the farmer sales have been extremely shy on both corn and beans, but primarily on the bean, just because $9 doesn't do it for a lot of guys.
Scott Archer Financial, of course, is a subsidiary of ADM Investor Services. Do they think they will have supplies out of position, relatively speaking, in that August time frame?
Well, we have seen a big movement of corn the last week or so. I think a lot of it has to do with timing of the you know, planting being done, and perhaps this little bit of a boost in price has helped prices go up, but or helped some of that movement. And we had a lot of movement across the scales in the Oakland facility this week. I think that certainly could become a feature and hope to, you know, prop the cash market up. But as this futures market takes off, the, you know, the basis is going to continue to crumble on the old crop. It's probably an opportunity, perhaps here in the first part of the month, to do a little price and do a little extra pricing of old crop inventories. I think a lot of times we see producers hold out for that stocks and acreage report at the end of June. For those that maybe perhaps did are undermarketed or did some poor marketing, they use that as their last Hail Mary attempt to try to catch you know, some kind of bullish movement that boosts the market, perhaps a lower stocks number, creates some kind of rally. And if we don't get it, then the cash market really starts to crumble. So it might be a real good opportunity here early to in the month as prices appreciate to do a little pricing and then maybe perhaps catch a break leading up to that acreage report to do a re-ownership strategy in some kind of call spread or just outright calls.
Dan, are you of a mind that producers ought to be at least locking basis in? And would you do that old crop and new crop both or not at all?
Well, the best basis levels are for the old crop. And if we go up, that is where it's going to widen. I'm not too sure new crop basis levels are super attractive. Because, I mean, I haven't looked. I've been away from the day-to-day market. But, you know, the commercial grain trade knows that if we have a good crop, we're going to have adequate supplies of corn come at us for the fall months. So I doubt if they have anything super attractive. It might be a shade attractive because, you know, commercial grain companies want to get their hands on the inventory so they can trade it, you know, into the world market or trade it into the domestic market. They want, that's how they make their money is trading. And so they do like to accumulate, you know, ownership of cash. And I know that a lot of the grain companies have been, you know, trying very aggressively, trying to get farmers to lock in some new crop prices, whether it's corn or soybean. I think there's been some in the corn. I think there's been less so in beans, but that's just my observation. But, you know, when you look at old crop soybeans, you know, I don't think USDA may not do anything next week, you know, because a lot of times they get egg on their face after the June report, stocks report. But they haven't reflected the supply tightness on soybeans that was implied on the March 31st report. And our weekly export sales total is 40 million bushels above USDA's projection, and here we are, you know, in the first week of June. I mean, the world grain traders have been waiting on negative sales of old crop beans since February 1st, and they just can't get them. You know, we keep climbing higher. So I do think that balance sheet that's at 335, I don't know what, I think it's 335, It is easily down underneath 300. Now, the new one scares me. You know, if Informa Economics has got their survey dialed in right and we're planting 2.5 million more acres than what USDA guessed we were planting in March, that scares the dickens out of me. But, like I said, you know, my opinion is I think the reason that our yields went through the sky last year was those mid-August to mid-September rains that just blanketed the corn belt and gave every, you know, corn plant, bean plant, more juice, and that's what topped it out. And I know otherwise we had a favorable weather, but I think what pushed it through the top was those late August, early September rains. Now, are we going to have that again this year? Maybe, maybe not. My guess is if you get into something more normal in August and September, we're not going to have that rain, and we may not get that big boost. And I guess, the question is what happens if the national average yield comes in at 161 or 162? and the soybean yield comes in at 44, the balance sheets change in a hurry, you know. So the bear is betting on the high-end yields, and he may get it. But the last time we had record spikes, well, it was 94, 2004, we had sharp declines off of those spikes. So I'm more inclined to look at the correlation that we're going to fall off of these spikes that we had last year, and the yields are going to be much smaller. And I think that's where the trade has gotten themselves too aggressively on the short side too early in the season, and they may have to backpedal all the way into the fall.
When you think about looking forward, Ellen, producers at this time of year are unlikely, I think, to do very much. They have crop insurance in place. They may have made some sales for new crop corn and soybeans, but not many, I don't think, and certainly not as many as maybe they have in the past. When should they consider their next set of options, really? Is it today? Is it in July? Is it as pollination take place? What are good key points at which you're able really to get your clientele to move?
Let's talk about beans first. The fall bean basis really stinks, so nobody's too excited about that, but there's some November-December bean basis that looks pretty good. So I've been looking at doing some selling at that basis as we move into a rally. Then I'll try to push that off if January bean futures are up around 950, somewhere in that vicinity, to get some things underway. We've done quite a bit of new crop corn selling. I always think at this stage of the game, am I oversold or undersold based on my historic yield? And at this stage of the game, I feel like I'm a little undersold, but I can't, at 380, I can't be selling new crop corn for Dee's delivery. My game strategy has been to start moving out of some of these short futures and looking at buying some December puts. And I'm buying $4 December puts. I know they're kind of pricey, but that's been part of my look-see at this stage of the game. I'm trying to buy more of those in the 35-cent range.
What's your plan, Scott?
Well, we stepped aside on a lot of our hedges on the recent break. Now we're getting back into the part where we're scaling back into some sales. We've made some sales earlier this week, and we'll continue to do that if we can get another 5 to 15 cent rally out of this market. We'll add to sales, and then we'll hopefully use a break, a dip into the latter part of the month to unwind some of those and maybe go into the report a little less hedge. But I think we're going to use this early first couple weeks of June as an opportunity to extend coverage, thinking that we're going to make some highs and then back off. As long as the weather appears favorable, see us kind of drift lower until we see how we set up for pollination period. We know the crop is largely going to pollinate into a pretty narrow window, so as we get to the last week of June, we'll be able to look at the forecast at that time and at least get a better indication of what the setup is going to be going into the first couple weeks of July.
Let's get a final word from each of you. I think, Dan, I'd like to start with you.
I'm watching the dollar. If the dollar would continue to resume the trend it was in, other than this little bubble up that we've had over the past couple of 3 weeks, that is going to provide some pretty good support to the commodity complex across the board. And the reason I'm bearish the dollar is I just don't think the Berkeley professor has it in her to raise interest rates during an election year when they're trying to elect the first woman president.
Scott Harms, your final comments?
Yeah, we think that this rally or this bounce here in prices is based on the fact that we got a little too cheap too early. It's largely fund short covering. There certainly is probably some end user pricing coming into play, but it's unlikely that the funds are going to reverse their position without a major fundamental feature out there in order to continue to force them out. So we would use this positioning that they're, you know, as them lightening up on positions, creating this bounce to do some pricing ahead of the stocks and agents report at the end of the year, end of the month, and then perhaps replace those sales with an option strategy going into the pollination period.
And Ellen Dearden.
Everybody's going to be talking this next week about the monthly report, but it's not going to be anything at all. Watch for the acreage report and watch for the grain stocks report, both extremely, extremely important, particularly, I think, on the stocks report for both corn and soybeans.
Ellen Dearden is with AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. Scott Harms at Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. And, of course, Dan Zwicker as well. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. That wraps up this June 4 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.